Holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certifications requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available by calling the station at 503-231-8032. Meetings will be held at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue, Portland, Oregon, unless otherwise noted. The Events Committee meets the third Thursday of each month at 6 p.m. Please call 503-231-8032 to verify if a meeting is being held.
Baby, you understand me now.
Hi, greetings and welcome to Prison Pipeline, airing from the studios of KBOO Portland. I'm your host, Adam Carpinelli. Prison Pipeline presents a unique perspective of the criminal justice system, addressing the root causes of crime and broadening understanding of the institution of incarceration. This evening, we are here with Mr. Talilo Marfil. How you doing, Talilo?
What's up, man?
Hey, man. Great to hear your voice.
Word. We are on. We are on the air. KBOO, what's up?
Let's do this. So, can you tell the audience a little bit about yourself and how you got into the kind of work that you do, which is generally all this music and youth advocacy and youth empowerment?
Yeah, I started out in Portland, and I was homeless at 15 years old and went through programs like Outside In and New Avenues and got my GED at the ERC downtown. And I ended up doing a prison sentence for 2 years. And when I got out, I couldn't go to, I couldn't get a job. It was hard for me to get a place. My face is covered in tats, you know what I'm saying? So the only option for me was to go to college. And I tried to go to college to be a firefighter and all these, and be a teacher, but my record was holding me back. So I went for music. And while I was going to college for music, I realized the power of the connectivity of music. You know, I've always understood that, but to me, it meant a lot more when I was going to college for it. I met a lot of musicians and started a band and all that stuff. And while I was doing all this, Outside In recognized my change, and they ended up hiring me as a peer mentor. And that's where my journey started. I started mentoring the homeless youth in Portland. And It was something that I empathized with, something that I related with, and that's where my journey started, man. Now I run a nonprofit organization. I've mentored for many organizations in Portland, Open School, My Voice Music, Up and Over, all these Keys, Beats and Bars too as well. I've went to the jail and talked to the kids as well, and ended up starting my own organization. It's been a pleasure to do this work for this long.
Yeah, can you talk more about Ascending Flow, which is one of your more recent projects, and talk about where that's specifically located as well?
Yeah, Ascending Flow is located in Klamath Falls, Oregon, and what we do is we mentor at-risk youth. We're trying to change the language around that, like youth of opportunity or something, because words are powerful, you feel me? So anyways, we mentor kids that have a lot of social economic barriers and just deal with a lot of trauma and come from broken homes. And you know, we decided to mentor them through music and art first, and then connect them to their mental wellness that they get from that to their grades. And we've been very successful at helping kids succeed. Like, kids come in with all F's and they have all A's now. Like, some of the parents will come and be like, yo, my kid is in and out of jail, he's having sex, she's doing this, she's doing that. And the first thing we ask them is like, what do you like to do? Mm-hmm. Like, what makes you happy, you know? And usually when you find out what makes you happy and you find that self-expression, everything else kind of follows suit. You're healthier, you make wiser decisions, and your grades naturally go up. So we serve 23 kids in Klamath, had a team of 8 mentors, and now we're struggling. We're on the verge of closing down, unfortunately. We just don't have funding, and we are doing a show on the 29th in Klamath Falls. We got a lot of artists coming in from Portland, such as Mike Bars, the Chicharrones, Sleep of the Chicharrones, mm-hmm. Larissa Birdseye. They're all coming down to do this huge fundraiser for the kids, and the kids are going to perform, and we're just trying to raise enough money to keep the doors open.
Yeah, and people should...
It's really important. Mm-hmm.
Where can people check that out? Make sure they can look that up. Ascending Flow Youth Organization?
Yeah, you can go to ascendingflow.org, and there we'll have, like, the event page, the flyer, a way to purchase tickets, and, you know, it's bigger than Klamath. You know what I'm saying? Like, this work is important in any city. You know what I'm talking mm-hmm. about? So,
yeah.
I feel like even if you're not in Klamath, you can still check it out and donate. And, you know, we're looking at opening a youth organization, the same one here in Portland, looking mm-hmm. at a space on 82nd, and hopefully we get that. Hopefully we start doing that out here too.
Right. So part of the whole, these projects, I mean, not the only goal of it, but one thing that it does kind of no matter what, and obviously you do that intentionally anyways, which is really trying to segue or dovetail or whatever you want to call it, the prison pipeline, the school to prison pipeline with mm-hmm. the youth. Can you talk a little bit kind of about that, as far as not just what your program's doing, but even just that whole prison pipeline thing and how that's affecting these youth that you're working with? Because otherwise, in a lot of ways, you wouldn't be like working with them per se, because maybe they'd be already doing other things. And obviously there's these opportunities that you provide to do that. But what's going on with that whole prison pipeline?
Well, these kids, so a lot of the kids that come in on probation, and they made some mistakes, from truancy to MIP to any of that. And a lot of these kids get caught up in this system it's like a perpetuating cycle. You know, they get in while they're young, they go back, the environment doesn't provide resources and opportunities. Mm-hmm. And for the traditional health workers that try to connect with these kids, it's not effective. What's effective is peer mentorship. You bleed by them, you gain their trust, and they will tell you things. They tell you things that they wouldn't tell anybody else. And once they have that trust, you can work on the negative habits, the mentality, the way of thinking, and also provide opportunities for them to get off probation. Mm-hmm. Our kids in the program, we've stopped the recidivism rate on all of them. We got them all off probation. They never went back to jail. Once our program started, losing funding, 30% of them went back into the system, and it's sad, man. Most of these kids, I know for myself, I was a juvenile. I was always in and out of juvie and in and out of jail for a good portion of my life, and I ended up going to prison. I feel like there's a connector to that system in general, mm-hmm. unfortunately. Yeah, so these programs are important. This is mentorship, even like Q's Beats and Bars, going into jails and talking to the people there. Like, it means so much. The work is so important, because you talk about things, you talk about how you can, you know, conflict resolute. You know what I'm saying? Like, what are you gonna do when you get out and provide those resources for them and a way to express themselves?
Mm-hmm. And you visited music. Some different facilities that maybe you can talk about what those are. One of them is specifically the McLaren Youth Correctional Facility in Woodburn, mm-hmm. Oregon. and you know we've been down there a few times, and you've probably been some other places. So yeah, can you talk more about kind of what that's like going in, what those interactions are like, and what you think the kind of, you know, outcomes are, or the outcomes that you've seen, you know?
It's a trip, man. When I go, like I've spoken at McLaren, I've performed at McLaren through another organization called Up and Over.
Mm-hmm.
But the beautiful thing about Keys, Beats, and Bars is that you actually sit down with these inmates. And for me personally, it takes me back. Every time I walk in there, I get kind of paranoid a little bit. Like it triggers me because I used to be locked up, and I've been locked up a lot of in my life. And I empathize with that. And it's very important for people to come in to show these kids that people care. They mm-hmm. care about them being a victim to a system. And, you know, hope is important, you know? So when you have real people come in and connect with these kids, like I sat down and connected with them and talked about my music and provided them hope because I was there too, you know? And I made something of myself. I started doing videos. I became a mentor. I think it's important to give the kids that are locked up in McLaren, OIA, anywhere in Oregon, that hope that you can do it too.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what Keys, Beats, and Bars does. Is right. It gives them hope. It gives them a way to express that. It doesn't change their situation, no, but it helps them think about it.
Right. Keys, Beats, Bars, yeah, it's a youth music program that has been piloted and is soon to be kind of officially launching as well as with your help, you know, at McLaren Youth Correctional Facility in Woodburn, Oregon. And there is a fundraiser for this event that you'll also be speaking at. And there's some amazing performances from local and even international artists at this event. That's taking place in Portland at the Lagunitas Community Room at 237 Northeast Broadway. And this event is gaining support for the program. Again, that's Thursday, June 27th at the Lagunitas Community Room, 237 Northeast Broadway Street. When you do this programming, what kind of things do you generally do? Because I think a lot of times when we bring up this stuff to people in the community, oh, we go in, mm-hmm. we work with these youth, people, oh my gosh, that must be so, you know, depressing, and what are you doing? You know, like, you know, people don't really maybe sometimes get it. So can you talk kind of more about, yeah, what's kind of really going on there? What kind of things are, what kind of activities and projects?
Within Ascending Flow or just a youth organization in general?
In general, and the work that you've done either at McLaren and or other places.
Right. I feel like it's different for every organization. I think the concept is the same. You're trying to help this kid succeed and mirror that for him. You know what I'm saying? Like, I know in Ascending Flow, we bleed with them. We teach them how to express themselves. We do the homework with them, like at school, all that stuff, right? But people don't understand how important this work is and how hard it is. It's self-care is super important because you might be mentoring a kid who's been raped by their stepdad or something, and they don't have food. You have to go help them get food boxes. They don't have a way to get to school. They're getting bullied at school and they feel like committing suicide and they have suicidal ideations. And it's like there's all these traumatic things that they deal with, the internal battle. Not just that, but then there's also the systematic oppression, especially if you're a colored that helps, man. It helps a lot. And it's like counselors, therapists, they all have a role. And I love living in Portland because Portland is very progressive in that thinking. They understand that peer mentorship is a very, it's like you're on the front lines, you know what I'm saying? And it's important work, man. Very important work.
Well,
definitely
some other,
a process.
Yeah, some other things that you talked about with your work, and I think that was specifically with Cypher Cure. It seemed like it had a couple key elements. One thing that I saw was, I mean, with the name itself is Cypher, which some people might not understand what Cypher is. So maybe if you say what that is, that's one thing. The other thing was the whole nature piece, the whole natural piece, because I know you talk about that a lot with the work that you do, but I know that Cypher Cure, that was two elements. But you talk about the Cypher and then kind of this whole ball of wax of why, you know, this whole kind of, I don't know if it's environmental consciousness is the term I should be using, but something like to that effect, that of what you have with these projects.
Yeah, Cypher Tree was a very unique organization. We started that organization with me, Quincy Davis, and Jesse Gardner, and we ciphered. We just had an idea. We wanted to help kids out and create a nonprofit to connect with these kids, and we started ciphering and just built upon it, and we put up posts in the community to come to these events and cipher, and it grew quick. And the beautiful thing about Cypher Cure is that we connected to nature. We would go to out into the woods and just write lyrics and shut off our phones. And I think it's important to remind the next generation of this tribe, because cipher is a zero. It's a circle, you know. Mm-hmm. It's absolute, and that's what I feel like society is missing, is this tribal circle where everybody has gifts and wisdom, and there's a respect for the older cats, and there's a place for you to be as an individual, be embraced and to awaken the genius within you that's already there, you know. And then to do it in nature as well, like to get away from all these distractions is very important, and also to just care about the environment, to care about planet Earth.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, man, it's a beautiful organization, especially when you see kids shut off their phones and they just become naturally happier, and you just watch them embrace the planet while rapping. Mm-hmm. By the way.
Right on. For folks just tuning in, you're listening to Prison Pipeline, airing from the studios of KBOO Portland, and we're here with Talilo Marfil, who's a youth advocate and hip-hop artist, and does film, and with projects such as Ascending Flow Youth Organization, which is based in Klamath Falls, and also Keys Beats Bars Project, which is a youth music project that's kind of based in Portland, working with youth who are incarcerated at McLaren Youth Correctional Facility, and then I guess we could say all walks of life, because like you were saying, there's not a great term that people are using the way we're talking about these different youth populations, but maybe part of it is just talking about youth of all walks of life, because they have so many different experiences, right, with right. what they're dealing yeah. with. And so can you say more about kind of what kind of strategies you use, and how... If any, you have any challenges, you know, working with youth and what, because you said it's hard. So what are those kind of challenges that people should be aware of? Let's say they want to get into this field, they want to whatever, study social work or that kind of things of that nature.
Right. I think when it comes down to getting into social work, you have to not do it for the money, number one, because you're not going to get mm-hmm. paid well.
Yep.
Doing this.
Amen.
I wish like. We could all pay all our bills and have money and 401k and all that stuff, right, by doing this work. But it's definitely a field that you really have to have the heart for it. You have to have the emotional and mental wellness for it as well, because you have to have patience with the individuals you're working with. They don't change right away. And also, we can't tell them what to do. We kind of just support their decision, and we're like a mirror. We like, what do you want? So what do you want to do with your life? Okay, is that a decision you want to make? You know what I'm saying? Like, instead of being like, I suggest doing this or doing that. Like, these are little tactics. Motivational interviewing is what it's called. And mm-hmm. When it comes to working with these individuals, it's very important to have that heart, that relatability. What I usually do when I first meet a kid, I use my personality. Mm-hmm. I try to find a relator. So if this kid likes boxing, I'm boxing with him. If he likes rapping, I'm a rap with him.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
If he likes to go hiking, I'm gonna go hiking with him, and get to know him and meet him where he's at and meet him in his interests. And it's very important to find that relator, because a lot of kids are very guarded. They have a lot of walls. They've been hurt yep. by the system, by their parents. So it comes down to that trust, right? And then while you're mentoring these kids, there comes moments where a lot of moments where it's really hard. It's really hard to see them hurt so bad. Like, I've had kids that have been abused by the system, or some kids have family members that have passed away, and then the way they react to it is they want to kill themselves too. So mm-hmm. it's very hard to change their way of thinking in that moment. it comes down to just validating their experience and you know, bleeding with them. And then you have moments where there are breakthroughs, where a kid comes back and he's like, yo, I got all A's, I just got on the honor roll, and just 3 months ago he had all F's, you know. Or a kid comes through and she's like, oh, I'm really happy today. Mm-hmm. And just that right there, after months of just being depressed every day, you see these moments, and those are the breakthroughs that are worth it. But in order to get there from A to B, it takes a lot of patience, it takes a lot of bleeding with.
Yeah. Well, you know, when it comes to making art and being creative and putting our energies and experiences in it, I mean, you're somebody who you do that also in your own art as well. So can you maybe talk just a minute too about some of the work, you know, aside from even the youth advocacy and stuff? I mean, you also put your own experiences that you have, you know, being, you know, incarcerated by the state and all these things in your art. And so, yeah, can you talk a little bit about that, where people can check out your stuff and where those intersections are? Because a lot of your work is so, well, largely it's all socially conscious, really. I know that term gets thrown around a lot, like when in hip hop and stuff, but and I don't know what you think about that.
I think when you ask me that, the first thing that comes to my head is this elemental reel that we have in Ascending Flow. We have a graffiti wall with four elements. And one of them's fire, that stands for passion. One of them's water, that stands for compassion. And then we have earth for being grounded, physical wellness, eating healthy, right? And then air for knowledge. And all of those things came from hip hop. Mm-hmm. As far as like fire for the MC, you know, earth for graffiti, wind for DJing, water for breakdancing, like, and as someone who is related to fire as an MC, as a spokesperson, I have a responsibility to gather the people and educate, and that's what I do in my music. I put my experiences down, but leave a good positive message, even when I'm talking about being, I don't know, talking about the realities of being on the streets or hustling or slaying or being in the pen or whatever. Like, it's very important to have that positive message and to help people think and also vibe with the music. And I'm working on an album right now. I actually went to the Philippines and connected with my indigenous cultures and got my Bagbabatok tattoo by the Headhunter tribe in Kalinga, and it made me connect to my roots more. So I'm working on an album right now. You can find my music at, if you look up Talilo Marfil on YouTube, that's where I'll be at.
Right on. Yeah. And that's another piece right there of like reconnecting with our heritage and ancestry. And that's another piece and, or kind of another element, I guess, in a sense, right, of that work and what that entails for like youth to kind of like, or any people, right, to kind of like realize more who they are and kind of what their potential is. Can you talk a little bit more about that?
Right. I mean, can you rephrase that question again?
Yeah, just how a lot of this programming essentially is inherently like multicultural for various reasons, and one of it has a lot to do with people connecting to kind of nature but also ancestry and or cultural heritage.
Right. Yeah, I have tattoos on my face, and one of them is Baybayin. It's a language, an ancient language for Spaniard colonization in the Philippines. And I put it on my face, and I put it on my body for a reason, for people to see. As an MC, when people see my music videos, I want anybody who has lost their identity to question why this Filipino American artist has these tattoos on his face. And I feel like art is a good way of educating people to connect back to the roots, whatever that may be. You know, there's always an indigenous tribe that people come from that you can trace back to. I'm fortunate enough to, for people that don't have any idea, you know, and I don't know how to help them either. I'm just like, yo, look, try to DNA test or something, you know what I'm saying? But I think it's very important for your identity and just to know where you come from and to embrace that culture.
That's great. And again, the Keys Beats Bars fundraiser is Thursday, June 27th from 6 to 9 p.m. And that's in Portland, Oregon at Lagunitas Community Room. That's 237 Northeast Broadway Street. So you're going to be speaking at that, and there's some other people kind of in the milieu that have also worked around these projects. And can you talk a little bit about, I mean, you mentioned a few, excuse me, organizations that you work with. Can you mention some other kind of community partners or other projects that you've been working on that are also kind of connected to this kind of larger work? I know you do some video stuff as well.
Yeah. I've worked for New Avenues and Step Up, and shout out to those organizations. They do really good work in the community. But one of the organizations that really helped me out was Outside the Frame.
Mm-hmm.
And when I got out of prison, I didn't have anywhere to go. I was like staying at a transitional housing spot downtown, and I didn't know what I was gonna do really. You know, I knew I didn't want to go back to prison. That's all I knew.
Right.
And Outside the Frame was like, look, here's a camera. I recorded my first track at KABU. They gave me the tools to express myself, and I was able to rap in front of 700 people at a screening where it showed my music video that I worked on through that program, and they put me in the news for the first time. So I mean, think about someone getting out of prison and feeling like they're just a menace to society. They're not going to make it. You have all these barriers. You're going to go back. You're scared of being friends with people because if they get into it, you're going to get into it, and you're going to get caught up. You know, it's a whole cycle. So this organization saved my life, bro. And later down the road, like a couple of years later, they asked me to be on their board. So I've been on their board for, I don't know, like 3-4 years. And now I stepped down and I started to work for them. We got a building at the Union Station. We work with homeless youth. We're actually doing an intensive soon, paid by, who's it paid by? It's a college in Oregon. They're paying us to create videos. LGBTQ identified Latino kids creating videos to help organizations train their mentors, to educate them on the struggles of being in that demographic and the oppression that comes from that. So yeah, it's very beautiful work. Yeah, check it out, otfpdx.org, if you wanna check it out. You can donate your time, get involved, donate money. It all goes back to saving lives like it did me.
Right on. Well, these are some great organizations. Again, there's Outside the Frame. There's Ascending Flow Youth Organization. Can you also let us know what the link is again for that?
Oh yeah, ascendingflow.org.
Ascendingflow.org.
Yes.
All right. And then of course the Keys Beats Bars program, which is having its fundraiser in Portland, Oregon, Thursday, June 27th from 6 to 9 p.m.
It's going down.
All ages, it's going down. Toledo's going to be there. A lot of great people are going to be there. And then everybody's going to caravan down to Klamath for the Ascending Flow fundraiser too.
We
so
save it,
yeah,
man.
Definitely.
The thing about Klamath, the reason why like I'm glad I'm in Portland now is because Klamath barely gets any news. Mm-hmm. The problem with Ascending Flow in Klamath is that Klamath is labeled last in health and wellness out of all the counties for years in a row. And there's like this article I was just looking it up because I was trying to get some info, right? And there's this article that was like, oh, it got labeled last. And I was like, oh, I thought that was 2019. But I looked at the date and it was 2015. And within that article, there were community health worker members or whatever that were saying that, oh, it'll show later. We're actually not going to be last on the list because it takes a couple years for the data to read all the good stuff happening in Klamath.
Right.
And 2019, fast forward, we're still last on that.
Right. Well, like,
Klamath is developing in a lot of areas, but they are failing to see the areas where it's like they're, for me, from an outside looking in and also being there too, inside looking out, I see so much pain in that town. And our kids grow up in that environment. So the fact that I'm in Portland, I'm trying to get Oregonian on this. I'm trying to get other news articles and the community to come together to shed light on this, because just because these kids aren't in Portland doesn't mean they don't matter.
Right. They need that support. So check it out, ascendingflow.org. And there's keysbeatsbars.com. And the fundraiser for Keys Beats Bars, Thursday, June 27th at the Lagunitas Community Room. That's 237 Northeast Broadway Street. Again, that's Thursday, June 27th at the Lagunitas Community Room, 237 Northeast Broadway Street, from 6 to 9. And please show your support for all these programs, show your support for all these youth. And you have been listening to Prison Pipeline, airing from the studios of KBOO Portland. Listen to this and previous Prison Pipeline programs at kboo.fm/prisonpipeline. like Prison Pipeline on Facebook. Big thanks to our guest Talilo Marfil and our engineer Joseph Lyons. Free them all.
Community Radio is proud to co-sponsor Good in the Hood the weekend of June 21st through 23rd at King School Park in Portland. Good in the Hood is a multicultural music, art, and food festival celebrating diversity and connecting people with resources and experience to strengthen the unity in the community.
The Good in the Hood parade will take place Saturday starting at North Williams and North Russell Street at 11 a.m. and Cable will be broadcasting the festival live on Saturday starting at 2 p.m. and Sunday starting at noon. Again, that's Good in the Hood Friday, June 21st from 6 p.m. to 10 p.m. Saturday, June 22nd from 11 a.m. to 10 p.m. and Sunday, June 23rd from noon to 10 p.m. at King School Park in Portland. More information can be found at kaboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.
KBOO Community Radio is hiring a morning news and public affairs director as well as an evening news and public affairs director to manage the news and public affairs programming. For these two full-time positions, we're looking for people with proven experience in audio production, management, and supervisory skills with volunteers with an emphasis on teamwork in a collaborative setting and the ability to work under strict deadlines. KBOO Community Radio is an equal